Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we talk to Jack Posobiec, and we also dive deeper into all the new and breaking revelations from the Trump legal team press conference. We have the answers. We have the research. We have the data, and also some things we share with you that we have never talked about before, including a breaking news story that we have been long suspecting here about granny farming and taking advantage of our senior citizens for power. We talk about that and so much more here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get behind the work we're doing at Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com/donate, tpusa.com/donate, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. Critical information. We're on top of the game. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I am joined by my friend and head of all operations at Turning Point Action, the Death Star to the left, Austin Smith.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Charlie. Always fun.
It's going to be great. We have some incredible guests lined up this evening. We also have some bombshell revelations to share from today from the President Trump voter fraud election integrity press conference. And we are going to dive deep into all the different numbers. In fact, we have a new whiteboard. We're not going to show it yet. Don't do the side camera yet, of some things that we have pinpointed here at the Charlie Kirk Show that we have been on top of. But we want to start by just recapping the President Trump press conference today. Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, talking about legitimate voter fraud that has been happening in our country, the documented evidence that they have been able to gather. So we are going to be here for the foreseeable future, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll
you
be
guys,
here.
You guys better get comfortable. We are going to be diving through the numbers, taking all of your questions in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. So let's start with Sidney Powell. I don't know what cut number this is. The one that we have right there should be a good place to start. Let's do Sidney Powell at the President Trump's press conference today. Just to kind of frame what we're going to be talking about today, Sidney Powell.
This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
For people who believe in freedom, and for honestly, for our entire constitutional republic. God bless Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell is one of the most courageous people in America right now. She is being threatened. She is being attacked from every single direction imaginable. And Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and the entire Trump legal team have been doing a phenomenal job at uncovering evidence. Let's go to cut 19. Rudy Giuliani explaining that an overvote, what is an overvote? We've been talking about this a lot here on the Charlie Kirk Show. How is it that Republicans won 28 out of 29 competitive House seats? How is it that Republicans did so well on the state legislature level? How is it that Republicans flipped governors' mansions? Republicans were forecasted to get blown out in the House. The Economist, the Cook Political Report, Nate Silver said that there would be 240 to 246 House seats. Austin, it looks like we're going to be near 221 for Democrats, one of the slimmest margins for any sort of House majority since 1906. We are finally starting to get clarity on all the different things that we've been talking about here on the Charlie Kirk Show. They say there's no voter fraud. Voter fraud doesn't exist. We have 182 pages here of documented voter fraud evidence. How about Mohammed Abdur Rahman? He pleaded guilty to one count of improper possession of an absentee ballot. Sound familiar? How about Salim Ahmed? Salim Ahmed pleaded guilty to one felony account of unlawful possession of an absentee ballot. Ahmed was initially charged with 20 counts of improper return of an absentee ballot. How about Maria Alejandra Lopez Morales? Maria Alejandra Lopez Morales pleaded guilty to an aggravated misdemeanor charge for registering and voting a non-U.S. citizen in an election. How about Brian Lee Byrd? Brian Lee Byrd, a felon on probation, cast a ballot despite being ineligible. How about Anthony Greer, a convicted felon who pleaded guilty to a charge of ineligible voting? Greer cast a ballot during the November election in Iowa. Felons cannot vote until their rights are restored by the governor. How about Richard Alacron, an L.A. councilman convicted of three charges of voter fraud following a jury trial? How about Flora Montez de Roca, a wife of L.A. City Council Richard Alacron, also convicted of voter fraud? We can go on 182 pages of this. The activist media ignores it. Play Rudy Giuliani, filling in the gaps. Play 19.
An overvote is if 200% of the people who are registered in a district vote. Think about that. 200% of the registered voters in a district vote. What does that mean? That means somebody voted twice. That means somebody who's not entitled to vote voted, an illegal, a person from another city or state, a person who's not registered. Well, in Michigan and Wisconsin, we have overvotes in numerous precincts of 150%, 200%, and 300%.
300% of overvotes. They say voter fraud does not exist. Let's go to cut 15. Rudy Giuliani in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, they noticed there was something wrong with the ballot. They called the voter to cure it, and it doesn't happen in Pennsylvania. It's a very important point. Now, before we go to cut 15, I just want to say, why is the Federal Bureau of Investigation not doing their job? Where is the Department of Justice? This is bombshell evidence, everybody, that could change the entire election results. And we are going to be here this evening keeping the pressure on. And Austin, hasn't it been amazing how weak Republicans have been on this?
Well, you think about it. We're scrambling in Georgia right now. Where's Brian Kemp? It's been 3 weeks. We can't find Brian Kemp. None of those guys.
The German name. It's,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. So, Austin, you'll get the exact numbers. I want to play Rudy here. But look at the absentee ballot rejection request in prior elections in Georgia, and then look at the absentee ballot rejection request this year. If that was applied to the election in Georgia, probably in Pennsylvania too, just around the idea of absentee ballot rejection signature verification requests, Donald Trump might have won. Just for all of you realizing, this can still be done if you get a fair judge. There's plenty of fair judges, thanks to President Trump. But just through absentee ballot signature verification request, President Trump can possibly win a second term. Let's go to cut. Actually, let's do cut 14 and then cut 15. Cut 14 is Rudy Giuliani saying, look at the affidavits that they have where there was no inspection of the mail-in ballots. Cut 14.
The reality is that we are now at a count of 682,770 ballots for which we have affidavits that there was no inspection of that ballot at the time that it was entered in the vote. It was a mail ballot. Mail ballots are particularly prone to fraud. We were warned about that by Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, and Secretary Baker in a report about a dozen years ago, in which they said that mail balloting is particularly susceptible of fraud, that we should very carefully consider ever doing it.
And yet, what did we decide to do? If you're BLM Incorporated, you can gather outside. If you're celebrating the Los Angeles Lakers, you can gather. But you can't, for whatever reason, go and vote in person. And now you saw the casualty of the vote-by-mail scam that so many people have been trying to push towards us in just the last couple of months. We have had more absentee ballots than ever before. And even Austin in Arizona, there was a lot of vote by mail, but more so than usual, right?
More so than usual, because usually everybody, even if they get a mail-in ballot, they always take it to the polling location. That wasn't the case this time. People
just putting
set it right back in the mail, go,
right?
Go.
And now we have tons of examples here of postal workers that have been indicted for throwing away ballots and other acts of voter fraud. They say voter fraud doesn't exist. We're going to keep going through this list all evening. The activist media refuses to cover this, everybody. How about Volvi Smilovitz? His co-host by the name of Zev, with Kenneth Nakadim and Shalom Lam, conspired to falsely register non-residents to vote in a village election. Yaakov Shulman of Columbus was found guilty of illegal voting in Ohio in 2019. In New Hampshire, Robert Bell, he voted twice, duplicate voting. Grace Fleming Jr. voted twice, duplicate voting. How about William Hines pleaded guilty to one count of voting illegally as a felony? Betty Clark of Haynes, Oregon, voted twice in the 2016 election. Play tape here of Rudy. Voter fraud is real, everybody. Don't let them tell you otherwise. Play tape.
In Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia, if they noticed that there wasn't an inner envelope, they'd contact the voter and allow him to vote again. Or if he didn't fill it out completely, or if he made a mistake and didn't sign his full name, he was allowed to cure it. There is no such provision under the law of Pennsylvania. The Democrat Secretary of State made that up in order to maximize the votes in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and to minimize the votes in the other parts of the state. Clearly illegal, clearly voter fraud, easily provable, hundreds of witnesses, maybe thousands.
Incredible. And so we are now just starting to see the evidence materialize. This press conference today is the opening argument. And look, Rudy Giuliani said it best. He said, why would we reveal our best arguments publicly at this moment? Let's go to Sidney Powell, cut number 20. Very important, where she says, we have evidence of 341,542 votes for Biden and 100,000 for votes for Trump being injected into the system multiple times at that exact same ratio. When she says we have evidence, she is not a bluffer, everybody. Listen carefully to Sidney Powell, cut 20.
We have evidence of different numbers of votes being injected into the system, the same identical, unique six-digit number multiple times in at least two states that we've analyzed so far. And I'm talking about like 341,542 votes for Biden and 100,012 for Trump. There's no explanation, no logical explanation for the same numbers being injected 20 minutes apart into the machine. The software manual itself, you can download it from the internet, and I would encourage you all to read it because it specifically advertises some of these things as features of the system. Why it was ever allowed into this country is beyond my comprehension.
And so, Austin, let's talk about this. In multiple states, the same number was inputted, 341,542 for Biden, 100,012 for Trump, being injected into the system multiple times. You've worked in elections. This is completely irregular.
It doesn't make any sense, and it shows you how fragile this type of work is. The trust that you have to have in people to make sure they're not putting through the ballots multiple times, and them they have to know that every time you put through there, that computer might pick it back up and continue to vote it, because they're not taking away any votes. Once it goes through, they're keeping that vote. And it has to have situations like this with a legal team for them to actually go through and say which ballots are valid and which ones aren't. And so that's why we're in this freaking situation to begin with, is because they kept putting all those ballots through it.
So they kept on stuffing the ballots in multiple times, and they can adjust the ballots based on how they want. But if it's the exact same increment, it would almost be that they had an algorithm or a ratio that they were counting the votes in
Correct.
A certain way. As Joseph Stalin says, it matters not what people vote for. It matters who counts the votes. Let's go to cut number 21. When Sidney Powell says the fraud happens in two ways, how they can adjust the ballots based on how they want, like I said. And then the founder of Smartmatic is on video admitting that they changed 1 million votes with no problem. Cut 21.
I mean, it really happens in two ways. There's an algorithm that runs that automatically flips all the votes, and then each operator has the ability to go in, override settings. They can ignore a signature. They can ignore the top line of the ballot. They can go down ballot and select who they want to change the results for. The gentleman who founded Smartmatic, there's video of him on the internet explaining that, yes, in at least one occasion, he admits they changed 1 million votes with no problem.
Now, we are just getting started looking into this. So email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if we select your question, you guys win a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine. Sidney Powell was mentioning Antonio Mujica or Mujica. Probably Mujica is how you say it. So we're going to show what Sidney Powell was talking about. Listen very carefully. This is the director of Smartmatic saying that they know without any doubt that manipulated results of elections go on in many countries that go on undetected. Play tape.
Based on the robustness of our system, we know without any doubt that the turnout of the recent election for a National Constituent Assembly was manipulated. It is important to highlight that similar manipulations are made in manual elections in many countries, but they go undetected because of a lack of electronic security and auditing safeguards.
So listen carefully to what that was. That was Antonio Mujica, the Smartmatic director, which Sidney Powell mentions, and now we're reinforcing her argument, saying that without any doubt, the manipulated results of elections go on in many countries that go on undetected. Sidney Powell also mentioned that Dominion voting systems and Smartmatic, two different types of things, the owners are actually tied to the Venezuelan government. How is this not investigated by the Department of Justice or the Federal Bureau of Investigation? So we have now here, and this is where Rudy Giuliani made his best argument today. Let's go to cut 13, where Rudy said the pattern of fraud repeats itself. This is important, and we're going to show this empirically and mathematically on this board in just a second. But this is really where you're able to prove this, possibly in a court of law, is that there was a pattern in these core cities. And Austin, you have some of those numbers too, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask you to dive through them. It's a really important point because things do not work in perfect artificial patterns, especially in defiance to the national trend. So if they were going to cheat, the problem is the cheating and the stealing and the cutting of the corners really exposes itself because Republicans did so well nationwide. Play cut 13.
Because there's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states, almost exactly the same pattern, which to any experienced investigator, prosecutor, would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities and specifically focused on, as you would imagine, big cities controlled by Democrats, and particularly focused on big cities that have a long history of corruption. The number of voter fraud cases in Philadelphia could fill a library.
Wow.
Could fill a library. Now, when you look at the voting irregularities, Austin, you have some of these numbers year by year comparison. Mm-hmm. Can you help build out some of these numbers and just go through it piece by piece?
Sure. So let's go back to 2008 mm-hmm. when John McCain was running against Barack Obama for the first time. John McCain took 2 million votes to Barack Obama's 1.8 million in the state of Georgia. And I would say Barack Obama is a much more popular president in any state than what Joe Biden would be on the ticket.
No doubt.
Without question.
And the only difference would be modest population growth, but that wouldn't be percentage growth.
No, correct.
And also would be the absentee ballot mechanical part of it, which actually proves our argument.
So John McCain, like I said, just took over just over 2 million votes compared to Barack Obama's 1.8 million in 2008. Donald Trump took 2.4 million, let's do it exactly, 2,458,248 to Joe Biden's 2,472,255. So that's only what a, that's barely a 20,000 vote difference in the state of Georgia. What were they just talking about earlier? How many times did those ballots continually go through those machines to be recounted, and plus those absentee requests that didn't come through and the ones that
right.
they rejected? So 20,000 votes, how many of those went through multiple times? How many of those absentee ballots have been rejected in the state of Georgia compared to where they were in 2008? Because you're looking just at about the same turnout, just a little bit more than that.
And you look at – so here's what happened, everybody. Brian Kemp might have won the governor's mansion, but Stacey Abrams actually runs the state of Georgia, right? We all work for Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams might have lost the battle, but she won the war. The war is not over, but as it stands right now, she won in this sense. She used tens of millions of dollars funded from Hollywood liberals, paired together with D.C. law firms, went into Georgia, started bullying Raffensperger, and started bullying Brian Kemp, and they started to change the mechanics, this is very important, everybody, of how elections are done. So, for example, they just take a random piece of paper. This is the way that it used to be done in Georgia, when it was done in a civilized fashion. And just a scribble like this does no longer takes the scrutiny for it now to go through a signature verification. So, for example, she sued relentlessly and endlessly with a D.C. law firm in D.C. So in 2016, when President Trump was up against Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams was not extorting the state of Georgia for her own power-hungry schemes, 4% of all ballots in Georgia were rejected. This is why the Trump campaign's data modeling showed that they won Georgia. Mm-hmm. This is exactly why President Trump's data, which was very accurate in other states, in fact, it was really impressively accurate in some states, actually. They said, no, we're going to win Georgia by about 30,000 votes. That's what I was told. And as the ballots continued to come in, they were factoring in at least a 2-3% rejection rate, at best a 4% rejection rate. So this was really the worst of all circumstances. You had more absentee ballots than ever before, more suspicious voter registration than ever before. In fact, there's a breaking news story that we are going to cover right here, right now, regarding the granny farming that we've been covering on this program. Everything that we've been suggesting and recommending is now coming true. And you have more ballots and less rejections. It's twice as bad for Republicans. So Republicans thought they were going to win by 3 or 4 points in Georgia. They probably did under the same rules and circumstances in elections prior. States that had civilized absentee ballot procedures like Florida, we won by 3 or 4 points. So it's not actually about winning elections. It's not about winning arguments, I should say. It's now about the mechanics of the election. President Trump tweeted this morning, almost zero ballots rejected in Georgia this election. In years past, close to 4%. Not possible. Must have a signature check on envelopes now. Very easy to do. Democrats fighting because they got caught. Far more votes than needed for flip. Republicans must get tough at Brian Kemp, Georgia. If we institute even fair signature requests and go ballot by ballot, then we will win the state of Georgia. And here's where Brian Kemp really disappointed a lot of people. He got elected in 2018 because of
He fought this stuff with Stacey Abrams.
Hold on. Do we have the Brian Kemp ad lined up? I think we can get that queued up. Connor can get that. We have a Brian Kemp ad that shows I'm a tough guy. I'm going to do all these sorts of things. And I hope Brian Kemp steps up. By the way, Brian Kemp was great on the virus. He was great about opening up his state. He's been awful on voter integrity and transparency in the election.
And he was the Secretary of State. And so he knows how this plays down.
This is his operation.
Yeah, this is, he knows how this all plays out. And that's why it's so important that when these governors come from a tough race that he just went through with Stacey Abrams, the whole world was watching about it. He had to know they were coming back. And they didn't prepare for it. And now we're in this situation.
Well, and we are finally starting to get the information about the absentee ballot rejection requests. So, Austin, when we started doing these live streams, we didn't know what the absentee ballot rejection request was. Now we have that information. And so here's the tape of Brian Kemp. I want you to ask yourself very carefully, is this the Brian Kemp that you've seen the last 10 days? Is this the Brian Kemp that you've seen on television? Play tape.
I'm Brian Kemp. I'm so conservative.
Love spending.
I blow up government spending.
It was a good ad.
I own guns that no one's taken away. My chainsaw's ready to rip up some regulations. I got a big truck just in case I need to round up criminal illegals and take them home myself. Yep, I just said that. I'm Brian Kemp. If you want a politically incorrect conservative, that's me.
Well, if you're a politically incorrect conservative, Governor Kemp, then why aren't you leading the charge for signature verification? Man, that's a big talk, isn't it, Austin?
It's big.
It's a good ad if you're actually going to do what you say you're going to do.
That's a perfect conservative ad, but you got to fight.
But it's kind of like the Joni Ernst ad. I'm going to make him squeal, and then you're like, okay, you're better than a Democrat, but you're still kind of letting us down.
Yep.
And so now here's the question that we have right now, which is what let me rephrase this. People are emailing us. What can we do now? Here's the good news. The good news is that if we just institute prior absentee ballot signature verification, which was the standard when Brian Kemp was governor, we can win Georgia, easily win Georgia. Now, Raffensperger, the guy that runs the Secretary of State's office in Georgia, has done an awful job. Georgia is a disaster, partly because they pandered to Stacey Abrams and they were afraid to be called the R word. They were afraid to be called a racist. I don't want to be called a racist. Who wants to be called a racist? Guess what? They're going to call you at that no matter what. Get over it. Do the right thing. Voter ID, signature verification, reject absentee ballot requests where people just sign stuff. Like this, that's not a signature, okay? That's some form of modern art that would probably be in some museum in New York City that you'd go pay a bunch of money to go look at. The point is this. We can still win many of these states if you institute the same standards that were once upheld just a couple years ago. And this is exactly why, everybody, they shut down the counting in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit. They did that because they wanted to make sure they had the right personnel that were reviewing the absentee ballot. So let me just tell you how this works out. You get 100 ballots in, right, Austin?
Yep.
On average in Georgia, 4 out of those 100 would be rejected because the signatures wouldn't match. That was the way Georgia politics worked. Because they slowed down the process and probably staffed it with cronies that were put in by Stacey Abrams, because of all of that, then all of a sudden, more and more ballots were being processed than the modeling would have showed. That's why they had to slow everything down, everybody. You partner that with Dominion, Hammer, and Scorecard, not to mention the massive contract that Brian Kemp's lobbyist got from Dominion, a $100 million contract.
His former chief of staff, or current chief of staff, too, that was working
all involved in Dominion. What do you got there, Austin?
Okay, so this was from today out of Atlanta, the news there. It said, the main issues uncovered through the process came in Floyd County, where a box of about 2,600 uncounted ballots were discovered, and in Fayette County, where 2,700 ballots that had been scanned but were not uploaded into the total were found on a memory card. A smaller issue similar to Fayette's was also found in Walton County, which is Trump country, which we've learned about for days. The net result has been about 1,400 more votes in President Trump's favor, leaving Joe Biden with still a lead of about 12,000 votes. So that's just three counties. Go to all these other ones where Dominion has been implemented, and especially in and around Atlanta. So there's got to be more than just 12,000 votes that are between the president and Joe Biden. Get rid of those 12,000 votes. Find those other 12,000 votes that are still on memory cards. Who knows where?
How is it just memory card issues? Are you losing faith in your elections? Because you should be. 2,000 votes here, 3,000 votes here, 1,000 votes here. Yeah, you should absolutely be losing faith in the system of which we elect our leaders. And now coming out, whistleblower today, you won't be hearing this on other news stations, breaking right now. Disability service coordinator blows whistle on vote fraud in group homes. How much have we been talking about this? Granny farming. Susan couldn't believe what she was hearing. Client after client, developmentally disabled person after developmentally disabled person all told the same story. Their vote was stolen from them. Susan, a disability service coordinator who works with developmentally disabled adults who live in various assisted living facilities and group homes in and around Milwaukee, says every one of her more than 20 clients told her they were either pressured to vote for Democratic candidate Joe Biden or had a vote cast for Biden before they ever had a chance to see their ballot. Breaking news, everybody. This is local news. Can we go to the side camera? This right here. This is local news. No one else is talking about this. We have it breaking right now. Susan was confused, so she went to her patients. I haven't been able to see them in person since March because of the virus, but we do Zoom calls with great regularity. Right after the election, one of my clients said that he voted for Biden but didn't want to. She was confused, so she asked another question. He told me that he was sad Biden won because Biden would make his Social Security payments go down. Probably true. She said in the interview with the Dan O'Donnell show. I asked why he voted for Biden if he was worried about that. And he said that one of his helpers had filled out his ballot for him. Hello, FBI, where are you? Department of Justice. So sick. I mean, this stuff is the disintegration of Western civilization. We have a whistleblower that is going through 20 different examples of everything we've been talking about here. And guess what? That would explain, let's go to the side angle, let's start going through our new whiteboard here, the 1,774% increase in 90-plus-year-old voter registration in Pennsylvania. Why would that many 90-plus-year-olds register to vote in Pennsylvania? Because they're going to be taken advantage of, like the whistleblower says, in Wisconsin. I mean, of course, all 90-plus voter registration numbers went up, but that number is so incredibly telling. Now, I want to put that one aside. I think I have this other article here.
And I've got another update out of that Floyd County.
Go ahead.
As of 4 o'clock today, they've been able to confirm that the Floyd County chief election clerk, that's in Georgia, Robert Brady, was terminated in a vote by the Floyd County Board of Elections today. So they fired
this guy.
This is the guy who oversaw the elections in Floyd County where
he should also be criminally investigated.
Yeah, I was going to say, this guy needs to go to court.
I think
ASAP.
That his cell records, his bank records, all need to be examined by a federal investigator immediately.
I mean, he's been fired, but it's kind of too late, guys.
Yeah, it's a little late. I'm looking for an article here. I'll find it in a sec here. But it's about the New York Times did a great article, believe it or not, back in 2012 around granny farming. It was a very, very good article where they were going through this. So now we have a whistleblower that says everything that we've been talking about. You guys understand. And when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you guys keep us going. And this is well documented. Granny farming is well known. It is well documented. And so we said, what if there was something called ballot laundering? I thought to myself, what if this was the Ozark election? If you guys know Ozark on Netflix, right? What if this was the Ozark election? Because sometimes you have to think like the criminal in order to solve the mystery, right? You actually have to think like the criminal apparatus. And so I thought to myself, if I were the bad guys, I would register a bunch of old people to vote, which is exactly what they did. 1,774% increase for 90-plus-year-olds in Pennsylvania. That's just one example. I would register them all to vote, and then I would bring my criminal apparatus, my ballot harvesters, my collectors, as this woman says this, Susan. I got curious after the first few told me, the whistleblower says, what happened to them. So I asked every one of my clients, and every single one of them voted for Biden. One gentleman told me, yeah, they just handed me a ballot that was already filled out. These are developmentally disabled people, everybody. You understand how sick this is? This is a mainstream media outlet. This is not some sort of fringe message board. And where is the activist media? Where are the other conservative channels talking about this? Very few. If you do not see this on your nightly broadcast tonight, ask yourself why. Now it goes on further. Susan says that every single one of her people say this. Every single one. And yet, there's no criminal investigation. Police are doing nothing. She's reported this. She says the last three elections, staff assisted the voters. But because of the virus, there were different people that were brought in. Probably thugs wearing hazmat suits executing granny farming. And so now we are starting to see the picture really come together. And now you see the difference. Rudy Giuliani was focusing more on absentee ballot, signature verification, and vote fraud. And then you have Sidney Powell focusing more on Dominion, Hammer Scorecard, and Smartmatic. This would start to explain so many of the irregularities that we started to see in this process. Austin.
So granny farming, if you're not familiar, that way I can just give you a quick rundown in layman's term what that is. It's a practice in which political operatives seek out massive groups of senior citizens to help request them for their mail-in ballots, then assist them in filling it out and when they arrive, and making sure they get those ballots from them and taking them to drop them off. So they help them fill them out, or they just take the ballots from them and then fill it out themselves and then go drop them off, because if somebody who is maybe mentally disabled has no idea what's going on with their ballot and somebody filled it in for them, takes the ballot, gone. Your vote doesn't matter. It's somebody else. Somebody else now has 15 votes.
And for those of you that are just tuning in right now, send this to your Democrat friends and ask them, are they okay with this? That Susan could not believe what she was hearing. Client after client, developmentally disabled person after developmentally disabled person, all told the same story. Their vote was stolen from them. She found out by just inquiring with them, and they said, yeah, we all had ballots already filled out for us that said Biden. These people are developmentally disabled. They have no right of recourse. They can't tell them to stop. Some of these people are physically incapacitated. This is sick. This is what the left is willing to do. And yet the media covers none of this. None of it. But we are, and that's why I want to thank you for your amazing support. And guess what? This would actually prove one of the theses that we have been showing here on the Charlie Kirk Show. But first, I wanted to say thank you for those of you that are supporting us on charliekirk.com/support. We have some amazing guests tonight. We have Alex Marlow, who's the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News. We have Darren Beatty, who is the head of Revolver.News. And we also have Jack Posobiec, who's an American patriot. And just on top of all things breaking news, it seems. It seems he does a great job with that. I want to thank Bruce from Texas for supporting us. I want to thank Roberto from California for supporting us. David from Michigan. I want to thank Abby from California and Marcia from Washington. Thank you all for supporting us. Linda from California and Kristen from California. So we are going to be joined momentarily by Jack Posobiec. And please email us your questions in real time, your thoughts and your feedback, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. But I want to go to a side angle here. And I want to show you kind of our new board we have here. One of the most interesting ones that we've been following here, and no one else has been talking about this, is Dane County, Wisconsin. It's where University of Wisconsin-Madison is. They are mostly closed.
The People's Republic of Wisconsin.
Now, we were going to do an event at Madison, but they didn't allow us.
No.
Because it's closed. Okay, so Dane County, Wisconsin. In 2008, Obama got 202,000 votes in Dane County, Wisconsin. In 2012... Barack Obama got 215,000 votes in Dane County, Wisconsin. Hillary got 217,000, doing a little bit better than Obama. Joe Biden got 260,000 votes in Dane County, Wisconsin, with the campus of UW-Madison being closed. And so they've had moderate population growth, but look at how Hillary just did a little bit better. And Trump did worse than Romney. So Trump did worse than Romney. Trump overperformed slightly, but Trump still did worse than Romney in Dane County. Trump did almost as well. Trump in 16 did as well as McCain did in 08 in Dane County. How is it that Biden got 260,000 votes in Dane County, Wisconsin, with UW-Madison closed, everybody? Granny farming and absentee ballot laundering. The ballots were sent out to previously registered students on campus, and I guarantee you, if there was a criminal investigation, they could go through camera footage, they could go through all sorts of evidence, and they would find criminals, well-seasoned, hardened criminals, scooping up ballots and then submitting them and laundering them back into the system. As this whistleblower is telling us, this is what happened in Wisconsin. Susan is blowing the whistle that all 20 of her developmentally disabled patients had Joe Biden marked for him. She said, quote, one of my patients told me that he was sad that Joe Biden had won because Biden would make his Social Security payments go down. I asked him why he voted for Biden if he was worried about that. And he said that one of his helpers had filled out his ballot for him. Maybe we did
fraud.
Worse with
That's
senior
fraud.
Voters because of all this granny farming.
It's fraud.
I got curious after the first few told me what happened to them. So I asked every one of my clients, every single one of them said they voted for Biden. One gentleman told me, yeah, they just handed me a ballot that was already filled out. No DOJ investigation, no FBI investigation, no Washington Post, no New York Times, no Huffington Post, no BuzzFeed, nothing. Just citizens rising up.
Just the Charlie Kirk Show.
Just the Charlie Kirk Show that you guys support at charliekirk.com/support. What does it say on CNN right now? Trump intensifies fight to undo the will of voters, inviting Michigan lawmakers to White House as his lawyers spew lies. That's a lot of words, isn't it? It's probably one of the longest chyrons I've seen. I want to welcome to the program a friend of mine, Jack Posobiec. Jack, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show live stream.
The live stream. This is cool. I like this.
We are doing the election war live stream. We are staying on this. Because very few people are covering this right now. Jack, give us the analysis. What happened in this election? Give it to us. You have the floor.
Yeah, you've got to really look at what just happened last night in Wisconsin. It's amazing to see it. Now, look, I come from the wonderful Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm a Philly guy. That's my bread and butter. Came up through the Temple University College Republicans, the Pennsylvania College Republicans. Let me tell you something. If you think that ballot integrity, election integrity, ballot stuffing isn't something that goes on in the city of Philadelphia. Let me tell you something. For us, it's tradition. It's a way of life for the Democrat Party in Philadelphia. Bob Brady and his machine that have been running it in the past with Johnny Dock and the Local 98, they've been doing that for 30 plus years now. Now, this time around, they didn't because Johnny Dock's having some federal troubles and Local 98 looks like they stay out of this one. That's why we think they brought in some mercenaries to do some of this harvesting. But the fact of the matter is that if you don't assume or you don't you're just throwing it out that saying, oh, well, of course there are no discrepancies in Philadelphia. You haven't actually worked in Philadelphia or you haven't actually talked to anyone who's run statewide campaigns in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for any statewide campaign. I've been working on campaigns all the way back to Santorum 06 statewide in Pennsylvania. So, you know, this is something that it's just part, you know, as Sadiq Khan once said, it's part and parcel, right? You know, part and parcel of running an election in the city of Philadelphia is, you know, there's going to be 3 to 5% of a fraudulent ballot. And it turns out that in this case, because they utilized these new mail-in ballots, these ballots which were not audited in any meaningful way, we're now seeing across. I can't, Charlie, find any state where they meaningfully audited any of these mail-in ballots. And when I say meaningfully audited, I mean checking the signature, I mean checking the address, making sure the person hasn't voted in another state, making sure the person's registered, making sure that you're deduping, so you're looking for, you're deduplicating, making sure that people haven't voted multiple times. We haven't seen that information. I mean, think about it, right? Absentee ballot comes in. It goes into one center, then the person separates that immediately. They check the address, they put it off to the side. Once that's been separated, that ballot then goes in. This is why, what did we hear from the very start? Those people, those left-wing liberal billionaire money funded agitprop with the fake signs printed to make look like they were real signs, what did they all say? They said, count every vote. Count every vote. And they were saying that again and again, so hard, so fast. Why were they doing that? Because they knew that there were bad ballots in there. And they knew that if they could get the dirty ballots mixed in as fast as possible with the good ones, with the ones of actual American citizens who have been registered to vote and are, by the way, free to vote whichever way they like, because we're talking about election integrity here. Right. They knew that if they got those dirty ballots in, then it would be very, very hard to separate them after the fact. And they knew that they know that our courts are weak. They know our judges are weak. They knew that they wouldn't want to go in and start to look at what they had actually done in terms of this election. That's what we're starting to now peel back the layers of the onion on, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So, Jack, what sort of evidence have we been able to uncover? Can you help build that out for us and give us some detail of the progress we have made in the last couple weeks?
Well, you've got evidence from all over the country, right? Right over in the state of Nevada, the city of Las Vegas, Clark County. You've got Adam Laxalt, Jesse Bunnell, Rick Grinnell's been out there as well. They've got whistleblowers who are coming forward. They've got people coming up with affidavits. I didn't vote. Someone said they voted in my name. Who is this? Where did this vote come from? I never requested absentee. I always vote in person, right? People who do that, that's their tradition. You're also hearing these affidavits with people, witnesses saying that they saw multiple ballots going through again, being run again and again. So when they would find a sheet, this is out of Michigan, when they would find a sheet that had, and again, this is the affidavit, right? That's evidence. That's not me saying this. This isn't Jack Posobiec saying it. It's not Charlie Kirk. This is what the affidavit says, is that they found sheets with 98% Biden votes, and that when they saw them, they would run them through the scanner multiple times because they knew it would generate the most possible votes for Joe Biden. Going back to Nevada, there is an issue with this machine out there, these ageless machines. I think that's how you say it, ageless. And it's this idea that instead of checking the signatures by eye, right? Like if Charlie Kirk, I want to buy the new Charlie Kirk book, and I say, hey, Charlie, can you autograph this for me? Right. And then you send me a copy and I say, hey, wait a minute, this signature looks completely different than the mm-hmm. last one I got.
Yes.
I might know that somebody else had done it. Right. Well, here's what they do in Nevada. They have a machine now that's supposed to be checking these things. This machine they've put forward in the new affidavit that's going in a new legal briefing. This machine is being run lower standards than are required from the manufacturer. They're using lower optical scanning equipment than are required by the manufacturer. In Clark County, they deliberately shut it to set it to lower standards than they were supposed to. And then they actually went. You can go back and find tweets and statements from them saying, oh, well, we're only able to go so quickly because we're using these great machines. Yeah, we know what you did. We know what you did, Clark County.
And so can you tell us about Wayne County? You've been on top of that. Then I want you to talk about last night with happening in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. What's going on in Wayne County, Michigan? Because if Wayne County does not certify, we could win Michigan.
Right. So here's the thing, right? And this is wild. We've been focused so much on Georgia where there's that fake recount going on. They're not auditing anything. They're just running the bad information through and getting the bad information out again. Garbage in, garbage out, they say in data programming. Arizona, we've been focused on Pennsylvania, Nevada. Then all of a sudden, a curveball pops up last night between Michigan and Wisconsin. Now, what happened in Michigan in Wayne County is a very disgraceful display. And I really hope that everybody took a look at that. And I'm thankful, in a sense, for the fact that it was all caught on camera, because you can hear the words. Two county officials there in Wayne County, which includes the city of Detroit, said there are discrepancies in these ballots, and the tabulation does not match. The ballot books don't match. The poll books don't match. We've got significant numbers, over voters, under voters. They're looking at numbers that just don't match. The number of voters registered versus the number of votes tabulated. They want to figure out what's going on before they can certify it. They took an oath for a position of public trust. They took an oath, and they're trying to carry out their oath. They didn't say a word about disenfranchising anybody. They didn't say a word about the color of anybody's skin. They just said, hey, we're looking at the numbers. The numbers don't match. We want to figure out what's going on with these numbers. That was their standpoint. The minute that the Democrats stepped up to the microphone, this all caught on a Zoom call, they immediately started screaming at them, berating them, calling them out by name. One Democrat, this guy Neil, he condemns them. He goes spiritual level on them. Then another one comes up, and he reads off the name of the woman's school where her children go to. He said, "I bet your children go to blank school, huh? That's interesting." On a live call, this is. Charlie, the last time I came on, we talked about Antifa. Now we've got sitting elected officials using intimidation Antifa tactics against. And I said, look, I've seen this before. This is Antifa. Here's the problem, though, right? Here's the problem. When you intimidate an election official in an election, which includes offices of the federal government, right? So president, Senate, Congress, all of those were up in Michigan, right? That becomes a federal offense. That is a federal crime to threaten those officials. So anybody who's threatening them, we saw this across social media, doxing, harassing, family threats, death threats to their houses. These are all federal offenses. And the FBI Detroit office needs to be looking into this, and the U.S. Marshals need to be looking into this.
Where is the Bureau? I don't understand. I want to ask you about Wisconsin as well. But just breaking right now for everyone on the live stream, in Pennsylvania, the Trump campaign just has declared a win, rightfully so. The appeal of a county's decision to count 2,117 absentee ballots with various deficiencies, and basically a GOP win ruled that the 2,349 absentee ballots in Allegheny County where the voter didn't date their declaration are invalid, and reversing a lower court judge decision. So that's 2,349 absentee ballots. That's the type of thing that these counties should be doing.
Right.
But Jack, you were really signaling the alarm about this, because the Democrats cared much more about process and the mechanics of voting than actually persuading voters this election. They didn't actually care about campaigning or making good arguments. They just cared about making sure they had the right people counting the votes and the most amount of ballots going around the planet. Can you talk about how we saw a different type of an election this time, where it opened the doors for cronies and criminals to actually determine the election, not the person that had the best arguments like President Trump in 2016?
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, look, we usually have various laws that are set up throughout our country on the books, particularly after Florida in 2000 and everything that went on down there. Jeb Bush, and, you know, I'm not exactly a Jeb Bush guy, but I'll give him credit because he did actually clean up a lot of the laws in that state.
I agree with that.
Later, Ron DeSantis came in and cleared up some of the, shall we say, personnel issues that were going on. Brenda Snipes in Broward County, our good friend Brenda Snipes, who's now off the force, shall we say. And they don't, it's funny how they don't have any more problems anymore. They instituted what are called election integrity laws. And we have these election integrity laws in various states. In Florida, they were very robust in terms of this. And they instituted even strict reporting deadlines that you have to report X percentage of ballots by this time. And if you don't meet the deadline, then they don't count. There's no idea. And then, but what happened is that with COVID, and you're looking at me like, oh, that sounds good. Why didn't we do that? Right? Because of COVID, COVID was used all of a sudden to put a moratorium on these laws. They extended deadlines. They allowed things to go late into the night. That's where you're seeing these 3 a.m., 4 a.m. batches of votes that all of a sudden come in. You're seeing all of this craziness happen long after, days after, in some cases weeks after they're finding ballots, because they systematically, and the Democrats with Mark Elias of Perkins Coie, he is their lead lawyer, they spent the entire year going state by state, law by law, striking these things down in order to put in place the framework whereby in you've got these, I mean, you could call them funny ballots, bad ballots, dirty ballots, whatever you want to call them, right? You've got ballots with no accountability. And don't insult our intelligence, mainstream media. Don't insult our intelligence. No one has checked these ballots. Nobody from the county level to the state level to any of these levels. None of them have been checked. They were opened. They were separated. And you put them in as fast as possible. You knew exactly what you were doing.
And so, Jack, can you go specifically through the threats in Wayne County? But before that, we're getting a lot of questions here. People are emailing us in real time. freedom@charliekirk.com. Is it certified or not? Are they able to rescind?
So they've come up with an actual – it's going to be a legal fight, right? Because they have said afterwards, they said, look, those votes we took were under duress. We were being threatened. Our families were being threatened. So we voted for it under duress in that time. They filed legal affidavits afterwards rescinding their votes. There's now going to be – it's going to go to court. It's basically going to go to court because – the county is fighting back saying that they couldn't legally do that because they were not in an open session of the Board of Elections. They're saying that legally they both do rescind their votes. So there could be a case where they have to open up another session, or there could be a case where they could go back and retroactively do this. I mean, I'm not the lawyer. I'm on election. This is why we need very well-funded election lawyers in these states who can go in, who know the bylaws, who know the law practices. I mean, Charlie, did you ever think that you and I would be talking about the Board of Elections, Roberts Rules of the Wayne County?
You're right. And the reason you and I are talking about it is because we actually care about lawfare. We're not lawyers, but we care about the general struggle. And because the Democrats are the lawyers' party, and there's actually a really interesting sequence of history around that, they've actually seated more lawyers as president than the Republicans by like 10 to 1. You think about it, almost everyone who runs for president for Democrats are lawyers. Barack Obama was a lawyer.
Yep, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton was a lawyer. They are the lawyers' party. And so it makes sense when things start to get tied up in the courts that they have the access, the personnel, the pro bono work. I want to throw to the clip you're talking about here. And everyone who has questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Can we play cut from Ned Stabler, this miserable punk? Can we play him, please? Let's play. Listen, I don't know, Jack, if you'll be able to hear this or not. You've heard this before, but this is
I've heard it a couple times already.
This is for the live stream purposes. Okay, play tape.
But just know when you try to sleep tonight that millions of people around the world now on Twitter know the name Monica Palmer and William Hartman as two people completely racist and without an understanding of what integrity means or a shred of human decency. The law isn't on your side. History won't be on your side. Your conscience will not be on your side. And Lord knows, when you go to meet your maker, your soul is going to be very, very warm.
Sounds like a pleasant guy. Hope he has a nice Thanksgiving. Let's, Jack, I want to play now Democrat Abraham Ayash, who threatened Monica Palmer's children.
Yes.
And I have an affidavit from Monica Palmer. Let's play Abraham Ayash, who's an absolute thug. Play tape.
And what that tells us is you, Miss Monica Palmer from Grosse Pointe Woods, which has a history of racism, are deciding to enable and continue to perpetuate the racist history of this country. And I want you to think about what that means for your kids who probably go to Grosse Pointe North. And when they see all their black classmates and they know that.
That is Democrat Abraham Aish. Let's make that guy famous because he wants to make those kids famous. And so now Jack, it's going to be a legal fight. They were definitely under duress. They had their kids
and
being
Charlie,
threatened.
I can even do you one better. As this guy, Ned Stabler, we actually started looking through his Twitter account and his Facebook account. This is a guy who, in the lead up to the election, he was posting Trump supporters' home addresses that he was pulling from the you know, voter donor databases, from the FEC database. He was posting people's addresses and putting them up on his own Facebook and telling people to shun them, targeting. That's voter intimidation.
Yeah, without a doubt. And now we have the Wayne County supervisors flying to see the president tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, at the president's request. And so I think that they should refuse to certify and they should sue and say, we will not certify Wayne County. Tell us in closing here, Jack, because we got to keep the pace moving here. What's going on in Wisconsin? You made somebody very famous last evening.
Right. Well, you see basically a very similar kind of situation in the fact that we've got two Republicans here in Wayne County that are standing up and saying, we're sick of it. We're standing up to the mob. You saw the exact same thing in Wisconsin. Now, this was the statewide for the recount. There are two folks, one by the name of Dean Knudsen and another very special individual by the name of Bob Spindell. They sat there, Charlie, and they went line for line, back and forth with these Democrats for six long hours, going subsection by subsection through the rules. These guys saying, you guys, you can't change this. You're not allowed to change this. You shouldn't change that. At one point, they were saying they were trying to institute social distancing rules. And then Bob Spindell gets in there and he's just, you know, Bob Spindell, this financial analyst from Milwaukee. And he goes, well, wait a minute. The law says that I'm supposed to observe these ballots. I can't observe them if they're 6 feet away. I want plexiglass like the hockey games.
So I want to play clip here. But before I do, where's the Republican Party providing all of this? Why don't we have platoons of people doing this? I don't understand it. Play cut 26, and then I want to get your feedback here, Jack.
Uncovering
that's
more by the day.
That's still equally good stuff, but that's not the clip. So we have Bob Spindell, or do we have to get that queued up? I think we got to find it or get it queued up. So, Jack, before we're going to get Bob Spindell, so then where does Wisconsin stand, Jack?
Yeah, we've got Bob Spindell. He is the Kraken of Wisconsin, basically. We've released the Bob at this point. Where Wisconsin stands is these guys are going to be fighting tooth and nail to make sure the absentee ballots are audited and are checked in a meaningful manner. Look, these guys are showing how you fight back. You just stand your ground and you point to the rule of law. They're showing the entire Republican Party right now, and that's why people are rallying behind them, right? It's the simple act of, as William F. Buckley used to say, standing athwart history and yelling stop.
Play the next tape here.
We don't know that a whole bunch of extra ballots were sent out without any application. And why wouldn't we want to, if somebody is raising that question, why wouldn't we want to go ahead and prove it?
I am shocked and offended that you have implied in any way that clerks in Madison and Milwaukee have sent out thousands of unrequested ballots. I think that's absurd.
And so I think that was one of the clips of Bob Spindell and the Wisconsin Election Commissioner. So in closing here, Jack, tell our audience how all of us can be Bob Spindells in this moment.
Look, you can be a Bob Spindell by going to your friends, to your neighbors and saying, how does it make sense that Joe Biden got more votes, more popular votes than Barack Obama, who legitimately had a landslide in 2008 over John McCain? No one's going to argue that. But how is it that this guy who couldn't even get 100 people out to a rally is beating Barack Obama? Something, by the way, a record breaking that Barack Obama has yet to congratulate his former president.
No, instead, he's doing a lot of interviews undercutting him. A lot of interviews.
Whole bunch. Now, folks, it's about standing up for the rule of law. And you don't have to say, you don't have to say, oh, I think that the Democrats stole the election. But what you should say is, if we say that we want to count every vote, we should mean that we should check every single vote. Because when someone commits voter fraud, that disenfranchises everyone's vote. That dilutes your vote. That dilutes my vote. The Democrat votes. The Green Party votes. That dilutes everyone's votes. So if we want fairness and we want actual elections, we're supposed to be the ones that are the paragon of democratic values in the world right now. But it feels like we're living through an episode of Belarus or something. I think we should stand up and be that shining city on the hill.
I agree. Well, Jack, thank you for joining us tonight. Any ways that our audience can support you or things you're working on?
Check out a new documentary just released, Antifa, Rise of the Black Flags. Go to antifamovie.com. You can check it all out.
Jack, thanks for coming on. God bless you, man.
Thanks, Charlie. Always a pleasure. God bless.
So we are going to now be joined by the great Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News. Before we do, I want to recap some of the stuff we've been talking about here. And Austin, you've been crunching some numbers here, right?
Something pretty unique in Georgia.
So tell us what you've been working on.
Okay, you go ahead. I'm almost done.
You're almost done. You're crunching numbers. Yeah. Austin and many other the team members, they've been working around the clock because everybody, we've been keeping the pressure on. And it's made possible by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. We are going for many hours tonight. I want to thank Julie from St. Petersburg, Florida. Thank you. Lori from Tennessee. We get your emails, Lori. I see them often. freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you. You're a great American. Jandon from Michigan. Thank you. Melinda from South Carolina. Thank you. Bruce from Texas. Thank you. Roberto. I think I said thank you earlier, but I just like saying the name. So thank you guys so much. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. One of the most stunning things that we have been discussing here, which is breaking news, it should be headline news, is this new story out of Wisconsin of a disability service coordinator says that 20 of her developmentally disabled persons that she oversees all voted for Joe Biden against their will. This would be 60 Minutes nationwide, ABC, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, full court press on every one of your news cycles if they actually cared, which they don't. They don't care that developmentally disabled people were taken advantage of. Taken advantage of. Not just that. This is a crime. No Federal Bureau of Investigation. No DOJ. It's okay. Who cares if developmentally disabled people get taken advantage of? This is so evil, it's hard to put it into words. And so she says here, I haven't been able to see them in person, so we do Zoom calls with great regularity. Right after the election, one of my clients said he voted for Biden but didn't want to. She was confused, so she followed up. She said that one of the helpers had the ballot already filled out for Biden against his will, breaking right here. And that's just one of the many examples of granny farming that we have here that we have gone through on the Charlie Kirk Show. You have some Georgia numbers, Austin?
Yeah,
let's
look at some of these counties, county by county. So there is a total of 8 counties that the president won and Kelly Loeffler did not win. Now, I want to tell you why this is important, because these are rural counties. Twiggs County, president beat Joe Biden there by just over 240 votes. Wilkinson County, he beat Joe Biden there by almost 500 votes. Burke County, the president beat Joe Biden by almost 300 votes. Dooley County, just over 1,000 votes. Chattahoochee County, just over 200 votes. Webster County, just over 100 votes. Baker County, close to 200 votes. And Mitchell County, over almost 1,000 votes there as well.
So he outperformed Kelly Loeffler
in those places. And so how many other of these blue counties that you see here that the president was doing well in and Loeffler did well in and that David Perdue did do well in? There's some here where Kelly Loeffler has performed better than what the president
really?
Had performed in Georgia. Not by a lot, but where she performed a little bit better than
so
what the president
did. So what's the significance
did.
Of that?
So look, these rural counties, there may be blue dog conservative Democrats in those areas that are voting for the president and not voting Republican down ballot. So what have we been told is that everybody down ballot was not going to be voting was going to be voting for Republicans, but they weren't going to go up ballot and vote for Donald Trump. That's just not true.
It's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite. So if these conservative counties are doing that, that shows you that even in the most red counties, they're voting Republican up and down the ballot.
That's exactly right. And also, in order for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue to win, they need Trump supporters.
That's all they need. And so those several counties where Loeffler lost, I'm going to go back and look for David Perdue and see how he did. But Loeffler, I wanted to see because she's behind.
Was Doug Collins, too.
Collins took off about a million votes.
Yeah, Doug probably got a lot of Trump supporter votes, too, right?
Doug Collins got 979,000.
But there was still almost 20% Trump was the driver here, though.
Yes. So if these conservative counties, which are you could call them blue dog Democrat counties, which I would refer them to. Those are the ones that performed well for the president, but down ballot didn't. So that's exactly opposite.
So we're about to be joined by Alex Marlow, but breaking right now, everybody, two Fulton County election board members have just voted against certifying the Fulton County election results because signatures on absentee ballots were not electronically verified. But we are told that there's nothing to see with the election. Now we have Wayne County, Fulton County, and Maricopa County. I want you to go through all the Maricopa stuff.
Yeah, we'll go through Maricopa.
We're going to go through that deck. It's a pretty good deck, isn't it? It's very compelling. Austin, you've been working very hard.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take your time, go through what we're talking about and all of that.
The Purdue. So if those of you who are just tuning in, you might have missed earlier, we went down and broke some of the counties that matched up, whether they voted for Trump, and then down ballot, they probably voted for a Democrat. So we just kind of wanted
to see
where that kind of lines up, because the theory is what we were told, for those of us we were told that we were crazy, is that there was Republicans out there that just voted for Republicans down ballot and they didn't vote for Donald Trump. Well, that's not true, because we just saw it in Georgia and some of these counties where Trump won and Kelly Loeffler may have lost, or where Trump won and David Perdue won. So we listed off several counties: Twiggs County, Wilkinson County, Burt County, Dooley County, Chattahoochee County, Webster County, Baker County, Mitchell County, Baldwin County, all went for Trump and voted for Warnock on November 3rd. Of those ones that were left, Burt County went for Trump, Warnock, and Perdue. So Perdue performed well there. Mm-hmm. He won. Dooley County went for Trump, Perdue. Chattahoochee County went for Trump, Perdue. Baker County went Trump, Perdue. Mitchell County went Trump, Perdue. Baldwin County went Warnock Washington County. This was one where Trump lost, but Perdue won. This is a big county
a suburban county?
This is more of a suburban county. Yeah. It's like a mix between suburban and some rural metro type of places in Washington County. Biden received 4,730 votes. That's just 50% of the vote to the president's 4,663% of the vote, which is 49.3%. David Perdue got 4,630 votes, 49.9%, to Ossoff's 4,477, which is 48.2%. So one of those counties, which isn't the biggest county, populated county in Georgia, but it's a good suburban county. It's got a mix between rural and suburban there. And it's not too far from Augusta, Georgia, on the eastern part of the state, where the president did okay, a little bit of a battleground area. But at the same time, it's being proven that if he's performing down ballot really well, or these Republicans down ballot aren't performing very well, then he shouldn't be performing very well. So it's the exact opposite. And Georgia's proving that. And it's happened here in Arizona, too.
So the special election coming up in Georgia, Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue. Right. How is turnout usually in special elections?
So in 2008, let's roll it back.
That was the last time we had a special, right?
In Georgia.
And a runoff.
Right. And that was Saxby Chambliss, who was the Republican there at the time. This was 2008. And so in 2008, in the general election, there was obviously the three candidates, the Republican, the Democrat, and the Libertarian candidate. And the Libertarian candidate took quite a few votes from him. So at 49.8%, Chambers got 1.8 million votes. And Jim Martin, who was the Democrat nominee at the time, got 1.7 million votes. And Alan Buckley, who was the Libertarian nominee, got 127,000 votes. So that Libertarian obviously took votes away from that Republican.
Got it.
And
so how was turnout, though?
So turnout, that's actually pretty low. So for the general, that's high. For the runoff, which was like at the same time in December, Chambers won by, more over than double digits that next time around. But turnout was extremely low compared to the general election. So if there's anything that trends in Georgia, it happened in Louisiana in 2014 with Bill Cassidy.
These runoffs are lower.
Lower potentially voters. And Republicans typically – voting to us on election day or runoff, it's like Christmas, it's Easter, it's a holiday for us, it's a religious thing.
So we usually do better.
We do better. So, but that doesn't mean we hold up. because Kelly Loeffler is still down behind Warnock in Georgia. It's going to be really smart for both of their campaigns, which they have been doing, is teaming up to run the rest of this Turning Point Action. We're going to be out there. We're going to have an announcement about some of the stuff that we're going to be doing here shortly. We're not going
big
away
events
there.
Events in Georgia, everybody.
Big stuff.
You guys should join us.
Fighting for it. The other part that I wanted to talk about here, and the special election, with the general election. Total, David Perdue got 2.4 million votes. Ossoff got 2.3 million votes. So that race was a little too close for comfort for like a more senior veteran Republican of the state of Georgia like David Perdue. But there was a lot of shady stuff going on there with Charlie's best friend over there,
Stacey Abrams.
And that some of these Democrats, if you paid attention in the last couple cycles, John Ossoff is not ever held elected of office before, but he has run for Congress twice in Georgia against
unsuccessfully.
And then now he's running for the Senate again. So the Democrats are putting all their chips in on John Ossoff, hoping that he can pull it off again. I don't think that the Democrats understand or respect the Perdue Loeffler machine that's going to be putting together, because Ossoff and Warnock, they're working together, but they're not hitting doors together. They're attending rallies together, but their teams are on two totally different wavelengths, and that's really going to affect them down ballot, because Republicans are going to be like, you know what, John Ossoff, he's 0-2, going to be 0-3 now, because they're hoping that all those Democrats that turned out for Joe Biden or their ballots were filled in for Joe Biden are going to go for Ossoff.
So I want to talk more about Georgia. Let's go to the side view. In Floyd County, these are found votes in Georgia, right, recently. They just found 2,600 votes recently on a memory stick upload issue. They also just found 2,755 votes in Fayette County on an upload issue. Walton County, 284 votes. By the way, that's how many Trump votes that they got because of memory stick issues. Trump gained 800 votes. Trump gained 450. Trump gained 176. In DeKalb County, that's what I'm told, that's how they pronounce it, is DeKalb, I guess. Trump gained, that was a error, 10,717 for Biden. But no, it was actually 9,000 less for Biden. It was actually 1,081. Notice how all the errors hurt Trump, and then meaning like all the errors, once they're corrected, end up helping Trump. Yep. Absolutely incredible. In Fulton County, for example, you just juxtapose that with 2016. The numbers are so incredibly dramatic. And yet, what's so amazing about this is that the people who are doing this, if Raffensperger and all these people, Republicans run this state. This is the worst run election in the country. And if you look at this, and I'm going to read this here, one batch was labeled the DeKalb batch, 10,707 for Biden and 13 for Trump, an absolutely impossible margin even by DeKalb standards. Biden's margin for victory was 99.9%, which did beat Bashar al-Assad's margin for victory in 2007 and Raul Castro's 2008 margin for victory, 99.4%, and it matched Kim Jong-il's victory in 2009. This is what we're supposed to believe is actually happening here. And then again, we'll go through the list. How do we explain the 95% turnout in Philadelphia? Wayne County is still not certified, everybody, and those people were extorted and they were bullied into certifying. We 143,739 votes at 3:42 a.m. were found for Biden in Wisconsin. And 95 again, and then 27 out of 27 toss-up races, Trump were won by Republicans or won by Trump. And then Trump did a point better in D.C., 5 points better in San Francisco, 5 points better in Chicago, 15 points better in Miami, and the same in L.A. and Boston. We're trying to believe that Joe Biden in 2020 got 260,000 votes in Dane County, Wisconsin, when Obama at his peak got 215,000, adjusting for inflation. That is still so hard to believe. So now we are going to go through some of these more numbers. I also want to address some of these questions we're getting at freedom@charliekirk.com. But before I do that, I want to say thank you to Mark from San Diego for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Christopher from Long Beach, California, thank you. I want to thank Sherry from Montana for supporting us. And Dean from Florida, thank you so much. You guys can email us in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. So, Austin, can you give us an Arizona update? What's going on here?
Yeah, let's do this.
Give me that packet. I want to go back to that packet too. What's going on in Arizona?
So we've pretty much tallied all the votes here in Arizona. The president fell short, just about 10,000 votes, what we were thinking.
Someone predicted that.
I think it was Tyler, and then I was saying 11,000.
Tyler, who's 10. The blue hat man, red hat man,
he
that
is.
Comes on, he called me on election day, and he said, we're going to lose Arizona by 10,000 votes. And I said, what are you, Nostradamus? And he said, I know this state better than anyone else. And by the way, he was ignored. He was not listened to by lots of different consultants that got paid millions of dollars. And unless we can reverse it, fraud and all this sort of stuff, I want you to talk about that, Austin.
Yeah.
But and could we get the Kelly Ward video pulled up too, Connor?
That's a good one.
We'll get the Kelly Ward video stripped from Twitter. But I just want to say 10,000 votes. Tyler and our team called it. We were trying to raise the – remember, we were trying to raise the warning flag. I was told by very powerful people, we're going to win Arizona easily. I'm so disappointed. It makes me sick because we were saying, why are you going to all these rural areas? Anyway, what happened?
Anyway, so – let's look at these numbers from 2016 and 2020. You know, Arizona's not out of the woodworks yet. Legal battles here. We're pushing for the county board of supervisors.
10,000 is reversible.
10,000 is reversible, but we have to do a hand count audit. We have to do a hand count recount, but that's only with 200 votes, so you can't do it. So you've got to audit the votes by precincts, 2% here in Arizona. We need to do it in Maricopa County. Adrian Fontes lost. He did end up losing his race. He lost over the
weekend.
He's
a Bernie guy.
Yeah, a Bernie guy out. A state like Arizona that gives us Barry Goldwater and constitutional carry and SB 1070 should not be having Democrats represent us. So, there's a lot to look at here. And Maricopa County in 2016, President Trump got 47% of the vote to Hillary Clinton's 44%. This time around, the president 48%, almost 49% to Joe Biden's 50. Didn't have a million Republicans turn out for Trump in Maricopa County. That's not good. Charlie's right. We sounded the alarm, said, you got to come to Maricopa County. You got to come to Maricopa County.
But all Trump had to do was do half a point better in Maricopa County. He wins the state convincingly.
Because and we were right about saying he did extremely well. He overperformed in the rural counties. Mojave County, he only did 72% in 2016 to the 75% today.
But you're dealing with less population.
Yes. And so he's overperforming in these areas. Pinal County, which we talked about the entire time, he did 1% better than he did in 2016. In Apache County, which is part of the Navajo Reservation, which is in the Four Corners part of Arizona, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, if you're not familiar with that. He performed there by 1% better than he did – excuse me, 4% better than he did there last time. And Joe Biden did only 4% better than Hillary Clinton. So – we had said it before. He's going to move the needle in the direction of Republicans and conservatism on the Navajo Nation. Mm-hmm. Turning Point USA has been doing that. Turning Point Action has been doing that. Republicans have been outreaching in the Navajo Nation. So in the future, that's going to be good for Republicans in Arizona.
Well, so the signature verification thing really interests me. Were the signature verification rules changed by Adrian Fontes in Maricopa that we
they
know
weren't.
Of?
None of those have changed. You know, you have an X amount of time to get a hold of that voter to make sure that that's part of their ballot. So let's look at some of these other numbers here. He did overperform well in Yavapai County, 63% to where his last year was 62%. Just a phenomenal job with the president in the rural counties, but just 1% better would have saved him here in Maricopa County. And that's just about 10,000, almost 11,000 votes is where we were falling short here. But down ballot, Republicans did great in the state of Arizona, minus Martha McSally losing to Mark Kelly. CCP Mark Kelly is what we're going to refer to him now. On the bright side, here we have something to look forward to, is that the legal battles, people are not really calling it here in Arizona for Joe Biden yet. Doug Ducey has said after the legal ballots have all been counted and everybody's going to get their day in court, which I agreed with what he said with yesterday, is there's not out of the Joe Biden is not out of the woods in Arizona. It's going to go to court here. Nothing has been thrown out. The Trump campaign is
I think they might have dismissed something today. I want to make sure we get that right. Tyler said they dismissed one lawsuit today.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, all the votes have to be counted. Everybody's going to get their day in court.
There's lots of other lawsuits that are being filed. And we have a whistleblower coming from Yuma, too, that's talking about a lot of the corruption that's been happening. We have that one coming up, too. That's really going to make some big news. And so, but look, if you look at Arizona, 10,000 votes, how many people voted totally in Arizona?
I'm going to pull that up just to be able to check. Because it was the highest turnout ever since 1980, I believe, or Maricopa County.
By percentage, right?
Yeah, by percentage.
And so it was 3.3 million people voted.
Yeah,
about 10,000 votes separate 3.3 million people.
And the Libertarian got 51,000.
51,000. So that would have been the entire margin.
Yeah.
So I'm glad all those Arizona Libertarians made their voice heard. That's really helpful.
For the most peaceful president of our life.
Yeah, the most pro-peace, pro-gun, and she's incredible. So, but here's the other thing that really, really bothers me about all of this is that so a lot of people are emailing right now at freedom@charliekirk.com. You guys are emailing us about Georgia, and you guys are saying, everyone's saying that Biden won Georgia. In fact, I got a news alert here. Where was this crazy thing here? It says, after recount, Trump still went. Yeah, here it is. In NBC News. By the way, NBC has got, they've just become so much worse than even CNN lately. Yeah. I don't even know what's happening over there. Georgia hand count of votes affirms Biden's narrow victory over Trump. That's never, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
First of all, we picked up some votes. The point is an audit. Are you verifying the signatures? Are you going back to the absentee ballot people and saying, did you actually fill this out? As we talked about here, and it would be really helpful if we had a Department of Justice in this country, like a civil rights division, where this woman, whistleblower, this should have been sent to every single subscriber of NBC News, but it wasn't. Disability service coordinator blows whistle on vote fraud in group homes. I want you to imagine if Turning Point Action was going around in old people's homes and filling out votes for Donald Trump. Do you think that would be headline news? Do you think that if there was some sort of grassroots organization to get people to vote for Trump in old people's homes, that would be headline news? Well, now we know it's happened in Wisconsin and no one covers it. And so this stuff can still be reversed, everybody. So I have here a deck. I want to show this to you. So the best I can. Election fraud? Oh, you have the deck on screen.
Perfect.
Connor's the best. Let's go this slide by slide. And by the way, send this to all of your friends. Can we break out of the really quick? So send this to all of your friends, everybody. This was sent to me by a very, very smart person. This is the best case for what has happened in many of these states. Okay? Okay. Slide two. The super elderly population in Pennsylvania have registered and voted at unusually high rates this election. As we've mentioned, slide three. There were more 90-plus-year-old voters registered this year than the last 6 years combined. Slide four. The 2020 registration for 90-plus-year-old folks is unusual compared with other groups. 1,774% increase over the year from 2008. Slide five. The spike in super elderly registrations began in mid-August. Interesting. Maybe when they started to realize polls were tightening, when BLM Incorporated started to become a top-tier issue across the country, when Joe Biden wasn't going to waltz to victory. Slide six. There is also a general registration spike. Do you see that? At addresses of at least 50 voters and median age 60-plus years during the same period. Interesting. Slide seven. Historically high registration of super elderly voters during the pandemic. This is where it starts to get very weird. How is there actually a spike during the midst of a pandemic for 90-plus-year-olds? Let's go to slide eight. Who's actually helping the 90-plus-year-olds to fill out the absentee mail and ballot applications during the Chinese coronavirus lockdown? And if you see that, 60-plus% were mail-in, 13% were online. That's very suspicious, isn't it? I'm sorry, 11-plus, that's 23. That's a lot of people registering to vote online for 90-plus years old during a pandemic, most of which probably are not operating online. A lot of technology. Number nine, many of these super elderly voters had not voted in previous general elections.
Shocker.
So these people have never voted before, but in the midst of a pandemic, they raise their hand and they're like, sign me up, man.
Register to vote.
Beam me up, Scotty. I want to get into the game. If you don't get the reference, you're probably not older than 90. Number 10. Many of these 90-plus-year-olds voters can be found at addresses with high numbers of voters and high numbers of inactive voters. This is the most important, everybody. What does this mean? These are nursing homes. These are nursing homes. That's what it's telling us. Let me read this again carefully. Slowly. Many of the 90-plus-year-old voters can be found at addresses with high numbers of voters and high numbers of inactive voters. So where would there be a lot of people that are voters?
A nursing home.
A nursing home or a vertical apartment building, right?
Yeah.
These are not single-family homes.
Nope.
Or inactive voters. Where would inactive voters be? Where people die. unfortunately. That's a nursing home or a hospital or a pseudo-hospital nursing home. So most of these 90-year-olds were registering to vote online at a 1,774% increase in the midst of a pandemic in a nursing home or a hospital or a kind of, you know, quasi-hospital. Last slide. What are the possible explanations? And if any Democrat wants to come on the show, I'll give them uninterrupted time. Unknown voter assistance? No, it was a pandemic. Ballot harvesting? Probably. Or a high motivation amongst nine-year-olds? I don't think so. Let's go back to the feed here. So that's just one of the many decks that we have here on the Charlie Kirk Show that would explain exactly what is happening, everybody. And we are staying on top of all of this when other people are not. I want to get back to some of our clip sheet for some people that are just viewing in right now. Can we go to cut 16? Rudy Giuliani said there were 15,000 cases where people walked in to vote and they were told they already voted by mail. Let's play cut 16.
Why did it happen 15,000 times that people in Pittsburgh walked in to vote and they had already voted according to the Democrat election machine? Did they forget? That many people with bad memories in Pittsburgh? Or is the following correct? That as witnesses will testify, they were instructed by the Democrat bosses, when they had a ballot in which there was no one registered, just assign it to somebody.
Wow. And let's go to cut. We already did that one. Cut 17. Jesse Jacobs, who was trained to cheat by supervisor by changing the date on the mail-in ballots. Play cut 17.
Jesse Jacob is an adult citizen and a resident of the state of Michigan. She's been an employee of the city of Detroit for decades. She was assigned to voting duties in September, and she was trained by the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. She was basically trained to cheat. She said that I was instructed by my supervisor to adjust the mailing date of these absentee ballot packages to be dated earlier than when they were actually sent in. The supervisor made that announcement for all workers to engage in that fraudulent practice. That's not me saying that. That's just American citizens saying that under oath.
And now we have here, do we have this picture here, Connor? Do we have this, that looks like a Richter scale of a San Francisco earthquake? It looks like a Richter scale during the great San Francisco. What year was that? I think it was in the 90s, right? It was during the World Series. Was that 99? The San Francisco earthquake?
Yeah, with the split.
What year was that? The San Francisco earthquake?
I just remember it almost splitting in half.
The first five people that get it right without Googling it, freedom@charliekirk.com. Without Googling it, we'll send you a signed copy or one of our shirts at shoptpusa.com. People are asking, where do you get these wonderful shirts? It's shoptpusa.com. What year was the earthquake in? Don't say. Just look it up. I can't remember. Maybe my years are totally off.
What was it called? The
San Francisco earthquake. It was during the World Series.
There was.
Aha! I wasn't that far off. That's a hint for all of you watching. freedom@charliekirk.com. But you must be subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. Okay, let's play this. Show this on screen. So as you see here, a Richter scale that looks like a San Francisco earthquake. Do you see that far right blue surge? Do you see that? This is the Wisconsin individual time-stamped entries from the New York Times. Why only the New York Times gets access to this stuff? I don't understand. Why can't we do some of this investigative journalism? It's beyond me. The data dump giving Biden 143,379 votes at 3:42 a.m. What is the explanation for that? Do you see that? All at once. All processed at 3:42 a.m.
Just a coincidence. What are you talking about?
No, and by the way, if you dare question it, you're a racist.
Everybody was just trying to do it at the same exact time, Charlie.
We're getting a lot of good answers on the earthquake. Someone said 1907. I think actually
there was an earthquake. There was a big one.
There was a big one. So they weren't wrong.
Hang on,
we're gonna give out five pieces of merchandise right here. Stephanie said, I was there. Well, Stephanie, you survived the earthquake, so you get a signed a piece of merch from the Shop TP USA store. This is inexplicable. And so we have here mountains of evidence. They say, there's no evidence. There's a great actual article here from The Spectator by Amber Athey. She's a good person. That says there is evidence, actually. And it goes through all the different pieces of evidence. Everybody, if we get in front of a judge, here's the thing that frustrates me the most about all of this, is that this is all civil action. If this was criminal, if you actually had federal investigators looking into this stuff, then
DOJ,
it would be so fast. They would file the charges. There'd be no problem whatsoever. When it's civil, you get cross motions, you get dismissals. A criminal action could change everything. But they don't want to do that. They don't want the Department of Justice and the FBI. If this was done to Barack Obama, there'd be 500 people arrested already. And anyone who dared mention it would be thrown in prison and thrown into Rikers indefinitely. And yet, if you dare associate with Donald Trump, Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, prior to that, Dinesh D'Souza, then they're going to lock you up and throw you away and indict your entire family. But if you try and rig and steal an election, then, well, just sit down and shut up. Meanwhile, breaking, a Democrat candidate in Cincinnati was just arrested for accepting bribes in exchange for votes as part of a federal sting. So at least there was some federal sting done in one part of the country. Not nearly enough. And the FBI agents arrested the Cincinnati Democrat for accepting bribes in exchange for votes. Now, I actually think it was city council votes, wasn't it? It was actually like how he was going to vote on the city council. Is that right? It wasn't like votes in the election. So this is more of like an institutional corruption sting, I think. So we're seeing now a flow of information that is going to show that is guiding our thesis, that very powerful people got involved in our election and did everything they possibly could to destroy and delegitimize Donald Trump at all costs. We're taking your questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. The series was at Candlestick Park, not in Oakland, I'm being told.
At the World Series, 1989.
So it was 89, all right. Now we're telling everyone. Some people were way off here, though. Some people were like totally off. We got like.
I'm trying to find the one from the early 1900s.
Maybe there was one in 1922.
There was a big one in 1943. It said.
It's actually a fear I have.
1923. There was another big one.
Was that the big one?
That was the big one.
The North Jacinto one.
Where's Humboldt?
San Jacinto, Humboldt Park.
Fernandale, Upper Mattel, Prepwood.
Please continue to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to play a couple, little bit more tape here from the press conference from today. Play cut 23, Sidney Powell, everyone is against us.
Dictators, corporations, you name it. Everybody's against us except President Trump and we the people of the United States of America.
You've spoken of unleashing the Kraken. Is the country ready for this? I mean, Americans should be astonished at what you're saying here today. Is the country on the verge of an electoral breakdown?
We've already had it. We have already had that electoral breakdown. But the Constitution, as Jenna explains, has provisions in it for how you fix this. And there should never be another election conducted in this country, I don't care if it's for local dog catcher, using a Dominion machine and Smartmatic software. We have got to have an American company that uses paper ballots that we can all verify so every one of us can see that our vote is our vote.
Why are you not requesting?
This might be an electoral breakdown, the likes of which we've never seen before. And how's the activist media responding to all this? Well, I want to play a clip from Mike Pence from the Chinese coronavirus press conference today. Mike Pence.
Thank you. And you won't work with the transition.
They seem to think very highly of themselves.
They live in a total bubble, dude.
I mean, they still think that they did very well in this election. They really did. Despite Republicans winning 27 out of 27 toss-ups, they're screaming at the vice president of the United States saying, you're undermining democracy. No, you're undermining democracy, Washington Post. I have a question for you, Washington Post. Have you investigated the dead people that seem to have voted in Michigan, allegedly, before I get kicked off another thing? Have you investigated this Richter scale? How about all these election fraud questions that we've been talking about? Why is it that all of a sudden that all these 90-year-olds decided to get on their laptops
all at one time
and register to vote all at one time in mid-August when Donald Trump started the surge in the polls, a 1,774% increase? You know who's undermining democracy? The person who was just at the disability services that was filling in ballots for people that are disabled, Susan, a disability service coordinator in Wisconsin, says right after the election, one of my clients said that he voted for Biden but didn't want to, and he was handed out a ballot that was already filled out for him. That's what's called undermining democracy. Democracy dies in darkness. Why aren't they covering any of the affidavits that we have here? Monica Palmer, Wayne County Board of Supervisors. Or how about the affidavit of Richard Hopkins? They forgot about that one after he said he was bullied like by the thugs of the FBI. Actually, no, it was the Postmaster Inspector General. Or how about this one from the Federalist today? In Nevada, a corrupt cash for vote scheme is hiding in plain sight. This is 100% true. What does this say, Austin? They have a raffle and they give you gifts if you bring your ballot. It's called the Nevada Native Vote Project. The Nevada Native Vote Project. McDermott and Oawante voters dropping off their ballots and picking up their gas cards. This is in Nevada. This is illegal. This is against federal law. Democracy dies in darkness. No one else has talked. We didn't get to this tonight because we have some. I got piles of stuff to go through here that no one is talking about. And yet they're screaming at the vice president like petulant infants. Yet they're not following any of this. They're not covering any of it. This is actually a story worth covering. In Nevada, this is by, he was actually on television. He's a really smart guy. I don't know his name. Actually, might be by the Federalist editorial staff. Federalist does a great job. In Nevada, a corrupt cash-for-vote scheme is hiding in plain sight. The GOTV effort in Nevada was blatantly criminal. Yet the Nevada Native Vote Project's Facebook page contains a post after post of voters receiving something of value in exchange for proof they cast a vote or handed over an absentee ballot. In one post, two men display a $25 Visa gift card they received after dropping off absentee ballots, presumably to somebody who works for the Nevada Native Vote Project. And here you have a Facebook post right here, with a side angle here. Right here. You know what that says? These guys are dropping off their ballots and picking up their gas cards. Hashtag Natives Vote. A gift card. You see that guy? He's holding a gift card. Why is this not in the Washington Post or the New York Times? Why is Facebook not allowing us to talk about this? And yet a lot of this is taxpayer funded. And we know a lot of the corruption that happens in these native reservations in Arizona,
yep.
Right?
Yep. And because some of the native reservations, actually pretty much all of them on the Navajo Nation, I think it's all of them, vote on Election Day. So those are picking up ballots on Election Day, not earlier. This is on Election Day, so this is all coordinated. It's all pre-planned. They got their gas cards. They know exactly where they need to be. They know how many people to expect. This was ready to rock and roll for them.
So frustrating. Jamie also wins merch from Shop Teep USA. I want to get my winners out. Rolando, Tenny, and Aaron, you guys got it right. The quickest, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us your questions as we are going through all of this. They say you're a threat to democracy. They don't cover any of this. Telling you the country's going to disintegrate if they don't get this right. If the media does not take pause and start investigating this stuff and start debunking some of the stuff that might be out there, if we're wrong, which none of it is, we're not talking about stuff that's not untrue, but if they don't start doing their work, then people are going to all of a sudden start having a revolt against the entire system. So Austin, in Georgia, the AP just declared the Biden the winner of Georgia. Fox News did the same. This is without actually being able to use the ballot certification process that we did in prior elections.
Correct.
Right? It means nothing what the media says here.
Right. And by law, Georgia has to certify its election results by Friday, but a lot of this is still going to have to go through an audit. So I don't know why they keep calling these races if everything's going to end up getting audited.
Because they want to rush Joe Biden into the White House.
They want you to forget about it and quit and get tired. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
They're trying to wear you down. And we are not getting worn down here on the Charlie Kirk Show. So please continue to support us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. We'll give away three more signed copies of The MAGA Doctrine. We're giving away a lot of them. All you have to do is, of course, subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show and show us you're subscribed. Email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. So, Austin, I asked last time what my favorite restaurant was that's a chain, and no one got it right. Some people said Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A funds very, very bad groups. In fact, I'm here to now inform you about Chick-fil-A. They have really I wouldn't eat at Chick-fil-A. I would not do that.
I think I could get – I'd probably guess it.
So I'm going to just say Chick-fil-A funds some of the worst groups out there. They really do. They fund groups. I'm looking up the exact names. This came out about a year ago. This is a Family Research Center story by Tony Perkins. They funded groups that actually supported some of the most hateful things you can imagine. It was either the Southern Poverty Law Center or it was one other. Yeah, it is Southern Poverty Law Center, anti-Christian groups that Chick-fil-A funded. So I'm not a Chick-fil-A fan, but no, it's Outback Steakhouse. I love Outback. Wow. Big Outback Steakhouse
fan. I was going to say Culver's because you're a Midwest guy.
That's true.
Culver's,
that's true.
Probably.
So I'm going to set – if you guys subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show and email us now what my favorite candy is that I enjoy eating but I rarely eat, then you
I've
guys –
I've seen you eat candy before, so I'm going to have to think.
Yeah, I don't eat – I haven't eaten candy in a long time.
I'm going to have to think because I've seen you walk around and eat candy before. Not in a long time, but I've seen, I've seen you with a candy bar before.
So you have to do that. freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank you guys for watching. We are back tomorrow morning with more news and information. Austin, any other closing thoughts?
Keep fighting, guys. It's not over.
Send this link to your friends, okay? Text the link to this and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and that wonderful and that beautiful YouTube bell.
And if you're in Georgia and you haven't registered to vote tonight. Tonight, register to vote because there's still going to be a runoff going on in Georgia. So if you live in Georgia and you're not registered to vote, you have to register by tonight. Do it by tonight.
And Rolando is so excited that he won. He's a Packers fan. I'm still going to keep him as a winner. and we are going to forward that to our team to make sure he redeems his prize because he got it right. freedom@charliekirk.com. But you have to make sure you prove you're subscribed. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that beautiful subscribe button. If you feel moved to do so, give us a 5-star review and leave us a nice review. We have an exclusive interview or two coming out tomorrow morning as well. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to join us in Palm Beach, go to tpusa.com/SAS. Please consider supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.